This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Oil prices hit four-year lows ahead of a major meeting.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Gura, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. The Organization of the Petroleum Exporting Countries, better known by its initials, OPEC, has 12 members, and they've gathered today in Vienna. You've probably noticed gas is a lot less expensive these days. Oil prices have fallen by a third since June, and that's partly because we've been producing more oil here in the United States. OPEC has the power to adjust production to produce more or less oil depending on demand. And what OPEC is wrestling with today is whether to drive oil prices back up. That's making this one of the most closely watched meetings in years. And Scott Tong is on Marketplace's sustainability desk, and he joins us now from Washington. Hey, Scott.
Hey, David.
So why is this meeting so critical?
Well, because the oil world has changed. I mean, normally when prices fall, OPEC members, they meet and they decide to cut supply. So there's less oil in the market, prices rise, easy enough. But now U.S. oil, it's new and it complicates things. So say you and I, we have a stranglehold on, say, the Apple market. We eat a lot of those in my house. And if we stop selling them, then this new guy is selling apples too. So we lose market share. And that's a problem. And many people think the most important OPEC member, Saudi Arabia, is thinking that way.
All right. So retain market share, don't cut. Doesn't that mean that prices fall? Are they going to continue falling?
Well, if they don't cut, they will. And so this is the rock versus hard place for OPEC. And many OPEC members, they rely heavily on selling expensive oil, and they're not going to be able to hold out long if oil falls from $80 to $70, even $50 a barrel. I spoke to Michael Shifter at the Inter-American Dialogue, and he spoke of Venezuela's desperation.
They're conveying that they're desperate. Survival of the regime is on the line, and they're trying to appeal and pressure other governments, principally Saudi Arabia, to try to help out and to try to mobilize support from Russia and other governments that are not OPEC members, also to see what they can do.
And David, see what they can do means can everybody cut a little bit from their supply to stabilize the prices?
So that's the debate in the room. You have all these parties participating. How are they going to hammer out an agreement on what to do?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And you think cartel means, you know, all these guys hang out in the Batcave and they scheme in unison, right? But I spoke to Jamie Webster at IHS Energy, and he compares the discord to another gridlocked institution you and I know well.
You have to think of OPEC similar to the U.S. Congress. Don't think of it as a single entity. They are 11 guys and a woman in a room trying to figure out what they're going to do. And they all have very different sort of points of view.
And if they are gridlocked, that means they don't agree to anything and they wouldn't cut supply.
One last question, Scott. What does all this mean for the U.S. producers you mentioned?
Low prices hurt all producers, and U.S. shale oil is the high-cost producer. So if the price falls far enough, they won't be able to profit and they'll stop drilling. But for now, most of them are making money and most are gobbling up market share right here at home.
Marketplace's sustainability reporter, Scott Tong. Thanks, Scott. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you.
This holiday season is particularly busy for food pantries, nonprofits that collect and distribute food to Americans who can't afford it. Many food assistance programs started buying staples like turkeys and hams back in the spring to meet holiday demand. The need for assistance went up during the recession, and food pantries have had to evolve. Marketplace's Adam Allington reports.
The Father Fred Foundation operates a food pantry serving some 6,500 families in Traverse City, Michigan. Standing in front of five industrial refrigerators, Donna Broyles, a manager at the foundation, says these turkeys will all be gone in a matter of hours.
This looks like a lot of poultry, but I can assure you, with 200 families a day, these will be gone quickly and we'll need to replenish over and over again.
Broyle says the average visitor only comes in 4 times per year, reflecting a new kind of marginal food insecurity resulting from stagnant wages, underemployment, or ongoing fallout from the recession. Bill Bowling is director of the Atlanta Community Food Bank. He says a growing political resistance to food aid doesn't make economic sense.
If we can get better health outcomes, if we can get better educational outcomes, if kids can learn better by being fed, they're our future workers.
Despite an annual surge of holiday donations, Bowling notes that food pantries feed people every day, not just during the holidays. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The markets are open in Europe. The FT 100 is up slightly, 0.02% at 6,730. France's CAC 40 is also up. It's at 4,379. And at last check, a barrel of light sweet crude is trading at $72.10. U.S. markets are closed for the Thanksgiving holiday. Major market indices finished the day yesterday at record highs. The Dow at 17,827. The S&P just above 2,072. For American consumers, a third of all our retail spending happens between now and the end of the year. According to a trade group that represents retailers, sales in November and December will reach $616 billion. But as Tim Fitzsimmons reports, if you want the best deal, you may not want to wait until Black Friday.
This year, there are fewer days between Thanksgiving and Christmas than usual, so retailers are pushing more deals than ever, says Tom Blishock, a retail analyst with PricewaterhouseCoopers.
It would be fair to say that this will be the richest holiday season with regard to the numbers of sales and the percentage of sales. And let's not forget online shopping.
Yes, let's not forget the other shopping holiday, Cyber Monday, which lately is more like Cyber Week. This year, Adobe Digital Index found that online shopping deals will peak on Thanksgiving with an average markdown of 24%. And if you're loath to fire up Amazon.com while you're basting your turkey, well, Adobe's Tamara Gaffney says there's a reason you should.
By Black Friday, you're going to have a 2 times higher out of stock when you shop online. When you get to Cyber Monday, which is December 1st, it will be 5 times higher.
So analysts say the best days to shop will be Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Shop early, shop often. I'm Tim Fitzsimmons for Marketplace.
And a few more numbers on the way out. Every year, Americans eat more than 200 million turkeys, and we eat a quarter of those at Thanksgiving. Those stats come from the National Turkey Federation, the bird's lobbyists in Washington. Turkeys, I learned this morning, are a $4.8 billion a year industry. All right, more than you wanted to know. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. In New York, I'm David Gura with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.